Hello and welcome to Try to Like It, the podcast where every guest try a food they hate one last time. I'm David Zwick and I'm here with my fellow taste bud, Winston Carter. Winston, it's the hot tastest.
Yeah, we're here.
Fight me.
No.
Please.
I win by not.
By not? By
yeah,
like
by not fighting.
By staying on your high tastest throne, you're winning.
Listen, I don't need to fight with a plebe like you. You're so far beneath me. That I don't need to fight over what we call a thing.
Fine.
All right?
So, to give a bit of backstory,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, please give backstory to this bad bit.
Fine. To give a bit of backstory, we are currently on a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming back in April with a season two.
Yeah.
Not much is changing show-wise, but we're going to have like a Patreon.
Things are going to change.
Okay, things are changing?
I'm forecasting. There's going to be some changes you might notice pretty fast.
Okay. Like?
I'm hoping for a new, I'm hoping that our song's different.
Oh, I'm hoping so
yeah,
too.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
So yeah.
There are things that
when it's not, well, no one will care.
Yes. So we're taking a brief break. We're coming back with season two in April. In the meantime, Winston and I are hopping on as we relaunch some of our favorite old episodes. We're going to do a hot taste just to keep things fresh, keep things alive, just so that we don't like send out a stale inedible episode. So we're gonna do a round of hot taste, which is one of our favorite opening segments. It leads the Hot Taste Legion, which is a X-Men style team that all of our opening segments are in, and it's a hot take on taste. So it's a controversial take on something we've noticed in the food world. So Winston, do you want to go first for this round of hot taste?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm trying. Restaurants shouldn't be allowed to be hidden secret restaurants. It makes me mad. That's it. A worldwide UN-approved ban
on secret restaurants.
Secret restaurants.
Like restaurants where you like need to like know the code to get
there's
in.
There's a restaurant group called something. They own a group of restaurants called Bohemian.
Okay.
There's one in like New York. There's a couple in Japan. They do like an Amazon. There's one. Their goal is to have like a Bohemian on every continent.
Okay.
But you can't get in. They consider it like their secret clubhouse. They're like, this is our secret cool lair. I'm sure I've heard really good things about their food. I know that Primetime on Eater did an episode there in New York. I'm going to say I think it's kind of bullshit and it makes me mad.
Just the exclusivity of it all or?
Yeah, because it's very much like, because the way their system works is like you need to know someone who's eaten there.
Ooh.
And if you don't, so you need to know someone who's eaten there and then they can give you the info.
Or,
and then if you want to apply directly, you have to send them a bio of an intro of yourself so they can approve you, which I think is the most uppity fucking bullshit. Now I'm actually getting mad about
this. Yeah, you are mad.
Because don't get me wrong. I understand the idea of I want a cool space where me and my friends can kind of like have a hangout in these cool places.
Yeah.
Then just do fucking that. Then don't sell them food.
Sure.
Or just make it a fucking club and you pay an amount of money.
Is the food supposed to be great?
It's supposed to be pretty good. But I'm like, I don't get it. Like, it makes me deeply mad and it's so fucking elitist.
It's like that dating app.
It's gross.
Raya.
It's like Raya. Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah.
The
league is the same way, right? You have to get approved for the league.
So I genuinely think, like, I've been really, it's been sitting with me because I was like, oh, that food looks really good. Oh, and that place looks really cool. But the idea that it's like, okay, either don't advertise it and it's just like a club you can join, like Soho House or something.
Sure.
Fine. That's allowed. I want to have a club. People want to join it. They have to. That's that thing.
So you're not against country club culture.
Yeah. But then don't pretend like, oh, well, our club is you have to. And it's not even a club. You just have to know someone who's eaten here. Or you have to like email us. And there also thing is like all cutesy bullshit where it's like, and Mabel, you'll hear back from like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Go fucking die. This is ridiculous. Like you either open restaurants and have a restaurant and want to share the cool stuff you're making with the world.
Sure.
Or don't. But like this in between fucking mess. Ugh, get out of here.
Can I offer a scenario, Winston?
Also, their one for North America is an RV that is located in LA.
Yeah.
And they're like the way they describe renting an RV is so ridiculous. It's like, you can come rent an RV and then you'll experience it. And it has a bath. Like, it's an RV.
Yes.
And they're like, but it has a bathroom and a bedroom. And I'm like, an RV is what you're renting, people. Infuriating, man. Jesus.
So here's the deal, Winston.
What?
I'm going to get us into the Bohemian restaurant.
Okay.
Would you go?
Yeah, I'll go.
If I can get in.
Yeah, I'll go.
You'd go.
Yeah.
Would you make a stink?
Oh, God, yes. Once we were done, on the way out.
Okay.
On the way out, I'd be like, y'all know this is bullshit, right? This isn't art. Oh, yeah, it's so fucking... Like, also, their New York one is like... It's like all that... It's like fake street, like...
Because there's a difference between this and, like, a restaurant like the Vespertine, which is, like, a five-hour eating experience that is supposed to be, like, an artistic... Fine.
Or, like I'm fine with restaurants being hard to get into.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, you need to get a reservation a year out. That's fine. Like, El Bulli was like, you really have to, like, get reservations this one time.
Yeah.
But what they're not making that reservation process is completely shut off to everyone.
Right.
And that, I... And it's not only that, it's, like, also, like, the cutesy... It's, like... Okay, real elitists don't have to explain how elitist they are.
Yeah, and like, justify it.
If you're really cool, to just have a place that people can't go.
Right.
Like, instead of this, like, well, we're going to let everyone know they can't come here. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So that's my thing, is it should be a law internationally sanctioned by the UN.
But if we
So if they want one, they can go do it in North Korea. They can do it in states not recognized by the UN. Because I'm on board with a lot of things they do, like... They're doing good things. Like, they opened up a tuition-free school in India.
What is this group?
Yeah, I know, right? My guess is it's rich people who are spending their money this way.
Sure.
But they also do a thing in Antarctica that's seasonal, supposedly, because they really want... I think the idea of let's have a restaurant group that spans seven continents is very cool.
Yes.
But don't make it so elitist. Just make it just like you can also just make it elitist by how much it costs.
Right.
That's an easy way to get where you want. Like, it's very frustrating.
John Hammond was going to make Jurassic Park affordable to families.
Yeah.
He thought about.
But also, if that's the same rate as, like, the way Disney World's affordable, it's still very expensive.
Right.
It's still, like, a $20,000 trip.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime. Yeah.
Which, really, for me, man, I don't know if I'd care about seeing dinosaurs that much in person. Especially with VR. That's what John Hammond did.
John Hammond didn't know VR was coming. Yeah. Or, like, the idea now. Like, here's the thing about, like, any future Jurassic World or Jurassic Park sequel. They could just have, like, indestructible orbs going around this open area where dinosaurs are. So it's like, oh, you're, like, there. You're walking among them in these, like, tiny little robots.
But no, people would want to be out there. There'd still be people fighting for it.
Yeah.
What I'm surprised they haven't gotten into, we're so off topic now.
Yeah.
Is the
Which is honestly we usually are very good about being on topic.
Is the thrill hunter aspect of like because I know they're making another Jurassic Park, and I hope it's like the same dudes who go to the go on safari to kill lions in Africa would also go hunt raptors.
Right.
And I want to watch that movie.
It's kinda like the Pete Postlethwaite character in Jurassic Park Lost World.
Yep.
He was just trying to hunt a T-Rex, but he was more of a game. He was a game hunter, but like truly,
he was not... like a guy lived it. No, I want to see like
you
rich
want
like assholes.
you want to see the dentist.
The
that
same
shot...
people who are eating a bohemian. Yeah. I want to see them hunting
that
the
dentist
raptors.
Who shot the lion. Probably is the same guy who would hunt dinosaurs.
Yep.
Fair enough.
But he'd have a little tiny one.
Yes,
but I want to watch that.
And he'd look real stupid next to a dinosaur.
Yeah, he'd be like trying to stand on it. But yeah.
Fair enough. I rank this hot because a law is involved again and good.
Yeah. If you want to own a business, just don't make it available to the public at all.
Right.
Instead of like dancing around it like cutesy. Like, yeah, it really makes me mad.
I know. You're red now, Winston.
You know what, man? In and out.
Yeah.
There's no club for In-N-Out, and everyone loves it.
Everyone loves it.
All right, what's yours?
Nutritional yeast doesn't get the job done.
Hot, great, we're done. Let's go home.
Yeah, just as like a cheese replacement, like I, especially when I was vegetarian and trying to avoid dairy, it just like doesn't hit those same spots. I would argue, like what it does provide is a non-animal product alternative to like a bit of umami savoriness, but I think you get more from, I think since nutritional yeast hit the market, I think you get more from some of these Miyoko's or Daiya cheeses than like nutritional yeast provides. Like, I know there's some protein content in nutritional yeast. I don't think it does enough. And if you are...
I genuinely think people are just like, it looks the same.
Yes.
And when I put it on, sprinkle on a thing, it looks like it's Parmesan cheese, and then I eat it. I think that's all it is.
It really doesn't do it. And then what I've since had, that like if you are avoiding most animal, like if you're vegetarian but still eat eggs and you're avoiding dairy, a cured egg, which is very easy to make, a cured egg yolk, does do the job that cheese does for me in a lot of ways. It just doesn't have that melting factor. But if you're looking for like a little shaved Parmesan, a cured egg yolk gives you that same umami bomb.
All right.
Like nutritious yeast, if you're looking for like umami, nutritious yeast doesn't cut enough umami for me.
I've been, someone brought up the idea of like, if you're cutting out meat, you have, you almost have to cut out. If you're cutting out meat for ethical reasons, like good for the planet reasons, you almost have to also do dairy.
Yes.
Which is like, I've been thinking about that a lot. I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, cause they're like dairy's every, almost every bit as bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and I've been really thinking about that. And I'm like, but are eggs as bad? Because like, I know chickens are significantly less bad.
They're less bad in terms of water consumption. Yeah. But there is a weird thing. If you are a moral vegetarian but still eat eggs, because like theoretically, there's no killing involved.
Yeah.
There is killing involved with our egg production in the U.S.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but it's like any non-egg producer. Like if you're an egg
like
farm,
if you're getting some eggs at like a farmer's market, though, you're probably fine.
You're probably fine, but if we talk about like mass-produced eggs, they process—that's in quotes—process the male chicks for feed immediately because they're not going to provide eggs at this egg farm. So it's like kind of a gross, awful process if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. Where like, oh, because of its gender and its utility for the farm, it's immediately destroyed.
Yeah.
Is pretty awful. If that's what's stopping you from eating meat.
It's not.
I know for you, for me, it's a thing I often think
about. We had Balut. I don't think you get to make this argument.
But
and you liked it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. But like, I loved it for the flavor. I didn't love it for the death.
But yeah,
so this is just a part of my like continuing to explore vegetarian options.
Okay,
and
nutritional
yeast. Like I bought it recently. I was eating a lot more when I was fully avoiding dairy, and now that I have it here, I like don't touch it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, when I could easily make a cured egg yolk and wait a week.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. So you rank this as hot good from the top?
Hot good. Yeah,
great.
I think so.
So this has been Hot Taste.
Yeah.
So we're continuing. This is the third episode in which
the hot-tastus.
The hot-tastus. There you go. There's the energy I wanted the whole time. Okay, I see. I want to fight. This is going to carry us through. This sort of drama is going to help people get through their respective hot-tastus and high-tastuses.
That's really why people were just so bored in the late 30s, early 40s, and they needed World War II to carry them through.
They wanted that drama to carry them through.
It was like the Olympics in a summer where there's no sports. I'm fully aware, David, that my choice of what war I chose is the thing that upsets you.
Yes. I mean, there are millions of people across the board. World War II is just particularly sensitive.
Yeah. There was, to be fair, there's no war I could have chose that would that's a joke's okay for.
Yeah, there's no genocide.
Maybe the Gulf War.
Yeah.
Maybe Gulf War.
Gulf War, I mean, there's no funny war.
Yeah. You can cut that if you want.
No, I think it's fine. So for this week's re-release, we are going back to the first of our Beer Month episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We have only done...
We've never come back to Beer Month.
We've never come back to Beer Month, and we've only ever done one other full month, the Thanksgiving Wars.
Yeah.
What I would love to hear from listeners is, like, as we return for season two... Do you want more like theme months like this? Because we got
beer
the
month
time.
Was taxing.
Beer month was taxing.
Because we also were like most of these places. When we were done, we were then drinking beer.
Yes,
and it caught up to us fast.
Right.
Yeah.
And we recorded it quickly, but
yeah,
we
was
could.
Fun, but damn, there was like
we
a
would
big
do
two
beer
weeks.
Month again, but we'd want to hear like please give us another beer month.
Yeah.
We're re-releasing the Jeremy Robb episode. Where we ate Natto, and he's the owner and proprietor at Eagle Rock Brewery here in Los Angeles. It is a great brewery. I love drinking there. I also think of our Beer Month episodes, this is a particularly good one to re-release because it's a food we've returned to a bunch.
Yeah, it's
on
maybe the
show.
the grossest actual food someone suggested.
I think for both of us, that has remained our opinion. We have since had it again.
I mean, I now can handle it. I know, like, if you put enough rice with it and soy sauce, I'm like, okay, I can put...
You can drown it in sauce. We baked it into banana bread for our the episode we did as part of the Taste Walk Glendale with Betty Porto. But my God, this first time eating natto, not really know what we're getting into. I made natto.
Yeah, it was the worst.
Which was like a little bit better because it was drier and less mucousy, but it's rough.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
But he's a delightful
person.
He's a great guy. Like anytime I've seen him since at Eagle Rock Brewery, he's been so incredibly nice. I'm just a big fan.
Yeah.
Great. And this is a pretty silly episode because our reactions are nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let us know if you want more theme months. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you like this episode. Let us know if you're team hot tastes or high tastes. Mm-hmm. As always, you can hit us up at try it like a
Let us know if you've eaten at Bohemian.
Yeah. Oh, honestly.
And also, then we'll tell you, stop listening to this. No, yeah, let us know.
If you can get us into Bohemian for the purposes of the show, please let us know. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I promise I will make sure that I expressly say they know David and not me, so when I make a stink, it does not get back to you.
Sure.
Because I'm going to make a stink.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I also will be doing work on my own to try to get in there, but please, if you can, it would mean a lot.
Yeah.
So... as always, thank y'all for listening. Enjoy the re-release of the Jeremy Robb episode from Eagle Rock Brewery. Check out some natto. Hello, and welcome to Try It You Like It, the podcast where we have our guests try a food they hate one last time. I'm here with my other host... my El Otro Hosto, Winston Carter. Winston, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Hosto is way host in Spanish, right?
It's not.
Okay, cool, cool. I just want to make sure we're already just making broad, awful, just real, really alienating a huge part of what I assume is our listening audience.
Sure. I was just trying to come up with a fun nickname, but I wasn't trying to alienate.
Otro Hosto?
El Otro Hosto.
Oh, my God. That's great. That's exactly the nickname I need to have on my segment on Fox Business.
Sure.
That's not what I need. This is
terrible. And on your own podcast.
Yeah, on my own podcast.
You are other host.
Otro Hosto.
We are here with Jeremy Robb of Eagle Rock Brewery.
Hello there.
Hi. Yeah,
thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for letting us join you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you guys. This is sounds like it's going to be super fun, and it might not be, which...
No.
Jeremy, what did you have us do?
Well, it was really hard for me to come up with something that I hate. After thinking about it for a couple of days, I realized natto, the fermented soybean... Yeah. Food. That's
That is not the word "not" in Spanish, as the earlier part of this podcast might make you think.
Sure, no.
Do natto. I like it? Natto.
No. So it's NATTO is a Japanese fermented soybean dish, which we have brought to the Eagle Rock Brewery.
Yes.
I want to keep the first part of the episode super fun, so let's hop into hot taste.
Let's hop into hot taste
because the natto part of the episode. I don't know how that's going to go. We're already worried about this being fun. We got to keep it fun for the next 20 minutes and. After that, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, then let's at least have some moment of enjoyment out of today before we're all real upset.
Yeah, take those snapshots of positivity. Yeah,
it feels like we're all about to watch Schindler's List or something. Like, we're all just going to get real bummed out.
Yeah, we're preparing for a moment of, like, true PTSD. Yeah.
It might be great, though. I mean, maybe that's, you know.
Maybe you love it.
Maybe
you love it.
Psyching myself out for setting the bar really low.
We as the host should not be the people being like, this is going to be awful. Considering the point of our show is that we want people to try things.
Was it try it, you'll hate it? Or try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Winston, you want to kick off with yours?
All right. So, mine is beer related because it's a food you eat with beer very commonly. It is that I think meatball as a topping should replace sausage on pizza. End of opinion. I don't think sausage should be allowed on pizza. I recently had it on a deep dish pizza, and it would have been better had it been meatball. That's all I got. That's what I'm saying. That's it.
So, So when you had this deep dish
pizza.
I had
a Lou Malnati's deep dish pizza.
I know
I'm
you
coming
did
directly at you, David, as
I know,
a Chicago person.
But you had it in Phoenix.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're not making good pizza in Phoenix?
Sure.
That's my fault?
Oh, I've never had
They should change the name. They should make it U Malnati's and it loses a letter because it's subpar pizza. That's bullshit.
You said
beer everywhere.
No. Okay.
Yeah,
can I
you can weigh
ask
in
a question here? Yeah. So you're positing that because sausage out of the casing is you know could be like a meatball
could
essentially
be, but
you
it's
think
not
about it, but the spicing on it
the
is
spicing
that,
I'm fine with.
Okay.
It is a texture issue because they put, to be fair, a bunch of gross shit that you would not put in a meatball into a sausage.
Sure.
Because traditional, like, I'm talking pork, Chicago sausage, has, it's not only just meat, it's also, like, all, like, gross little tendons and little pieces of cartilage that end up in there.
Yeah.
And there's all this bouncy bullshit, like, little pieces of rubber. Like, all, you know when you look, cut a sausage and you see white stuff and it's not fat because the fat's rendered out? That stuff, get it out of here.
Lips and sure. assholes, right?
Yeah, that's... yeah. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Jeremy, I agreed with you on, like, let's talk about size of sausages and meatballs. They're very similar. So it's just sausage spicing that you are upset with?
No, I'm fine with sausage spicing. I'm talking okay. about the type of meat, my man.
Okay, so...
All right.
But in then... But
a meatball is a smooth... When you bite into a meatball, it is a smooth experience. Sure. It cuts through. It's like a, it's like just a soft, like there's breadcrumbs in it. It just cuts right through. Whereas if you cut through a piece of sausage, you are wrenching that fork back and forth a little bit.
Because of the snap that's in a sausage, typically? Yeah.
Not even, not even in the casing, just in the actual sausage.
Okay.
And I think meatball is a far superior pizza topping.
Sure.
That's it.
Where are you getting meatball on a pizza?
Fucking anywhere, man. Are you kidding me? Today, in 2018, anywhere I want.
Sure, but what place is, like, offering up a meatball as a topping?
I think that, who does, so in L.A., for instance, Tomato Pie does a delicious meatball pizza. You also have Masa of Echo Park does an excellent meatball topping on their pizza.
Okay.
That's sort of Chicago style.
Yeah, it is. I would don't want to get into it because it will become the focus of the entire episode if I give my opinion on Masa of Echo Park versus Lou Malnati's. But
and Jeremy, so you're right. I'm from north of Chicago. Winston was just in Phoenix where he had one of the Lou Malnati's, which is one of my favorite Chicago deep dish places that just happens to have a storefront in
Phoenix. I like how you disqualify their store. You're like, oh, they like built one, but it's not like good.
So
I've never been there.
Recently had a pretty cool experience. My sort of brother-in-law, mm-hmm. it's, well, we're talking about Spanish earlier.
Yeah.
And there's not a word for this in English culture, okay. but in
if you say meatball, Latin, Latin
culture, cocuño, which is okay. like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like a brother-in-law married in. Yeah. So like my wife and her sister, mm-hmm. her sister's husband and me. So we're like not really like brother-in-laws.
Yeah, but you guys are both. Yeah.
So his parents are from Chicago mm-hmm. and they were recently in town. We were building this cool playset for the kids mm-hmm. at their house. And we said, let's turn it into a barn raising party. So
that's awesome.
Lee, who works for us here, is a super good like jack of all trades kind of guy. He makes sausage and
some sausage.
Steve's dad said, hey, let's have a sausage making party and we'll make some pizzas as well. So he made his, I can't remember the recipe that he uses. It might be Illuminati's
kind of thing.
Yeah. And he made these fantastic Chicago style
really?
Pizzas. And then him and Lee made sausages while me and Steve were building the playground. And because they selected the meats and then ground them there in
that
house.
Sounds great.
And it was,
I'm sure it's delicious.
There was none of the weird like rubbery stuff.
Yeah.
In
I'm
it.
Sure there was no rubber in here. And listen, Illuminati's was great.
Sure.
And that sounds okay to me. But the problem is that when I go get sausage at a place, it's not that.
Yeah, it's like they buy it from Sysco.
Yeah, it's not ground enough. It's an issue.
But here's where I get lost. To put it out there, if I'm eating a pizza, I prefer mushrooms, and that's about it. I'm not a big meat on pizza person.
Okay.
But across the board, the quality of sausage you're going to get at a Domino's versus an artisanal pizzeria mm-hmm. versus the quality of meatball at a Domino's and then at a artisanal pizzeria, is it really that big of a difference? The quality of a meatball on the low level next to a sausage.
No, but what I'm saying is that even artisanal meatball or sausage is still not as good as a meatball.
So you're saying low-level meatball
is better than low-level sausage, and high-level meatball is better than high-level sausage.
Sure, but then is a high-level is a low-level meatball as good as a high-level sausage?
They're about even.
I disagree.
But that's my opinion. That's
sure.
what I. That's my taste.
That's your taste.
And it's I will die fighting this battle. And really, pepperoni belongs on a pizza more than any of these things.
Sure.
Which is a sausage, but it's thinly. It's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
I guess it's not. It's like a cured meat. Is it a sausage?
What?
Does pepperoni count as a sausage?
It is technically a sausage, right?
Because
it's
a like,
cured
yeah,
meat.
It's, it's a cured meat.
Yeah.
So that's a better sausage. We all know what I'm talking. Is
yes.
uncured, mm-hmm. uncooked sausage.
Yeah, I wasn't lumping pepperoni.
And I'm not. Listen, Lee. I'm sure your sausage is great. I'm not coming after you. I mean, if you want to get into it, we can talk. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
That's
fair.
It's
also fact.
Yeah.
It's my opinion and it's a fact.
That's fair.
Let's hear it.
My, just in the spirit of being here at Eagle Rock Brewery, I wanted to do a beer-related hot taste. And I'm betting you'll agree with me. I don't like when a beer has a flavoring that can't like exist in a liquefied form. Like I, as much as they taste close to peanut butter, I don't like a peanut butter stout because peanut butter, when you're using it, cannot get liquefied.
Is it not a liquid?
Peanut butter?
Yeah.
No.
I think if you leave that thing like over enough, it will pour out over a long enough period of time, right?
Sure.
I guess it's a liquid like Silly Putty is a liquid.
It can get to a viscous level, but it's not getting to the point of being watery.
Yeah. And I thought you were going to be like, I don't like ham hock beer or something like something weirder that's not.
Well, it's more like get those additives or natural flavors or like if it can't be water texture, I don't like it being in beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I know there are good tasting peanut butter stouts out there, but then if I think about it on a intellectual level, it's like it shouldn't be this way. So something had to happen chemically for it to get to that.
And Jeremy, it is peanut butter month currently here at Eagle Rock. You guys have 4 or 5.
Oh yeah, we have. It's all peanut butter beers on tap right now. Okay. So, you know, sorry about it. I didn't know.
Well, I didn't know I'd bring someone so offensive.
Yeah, and I didn't know it was peanut butter month.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. This is a rare one where I actually agree, and I'm not groaning through here.
Sure. Well, it's not related to can I lick the plates in restaurants
or
can I eat other people's fries at restaurants.
I'm surprised you didn't say I'd like to drink the leftover beers at tap rooms.
Well, I covered it up. The low level one is like if beer is being left at the bar, can't there be some sort of trough saved for me?
You're so gross.
Like, we'll sanitize the lids of the cups. Maybe someone goes around with some sort of alcohol wipe.
What lids?
Like,
what is this madness?
Like
the edge. You want glasses with removable rims. Never mind the fact that liquid has touched someone's inside of their mouth.
No, you can solve this pretty easily. Just put a little spigot on the bottom of each glass.
That's what I want.
Just drain it that way.
Oh,
yeah. Right?
God, please don't encourage. You're a professional. Please don't.
So that was my hot taste. Let me drink the half empty.
No, your hot taste is a fair one.
Yeah.
You lead into a crazy
like I don't want get weird flavors, preservatives, and things that can't be liquid out of my beer.
I agree. I mean, we like to say that around here, like we like our beer to taste like beer. You know, not to say we won't use a other ingredient from time to time. But you know, ultimately, it should still taste like beer first, and then you know, this if the ingredient is doing something else to contribute to what's already happening in the beer, what would you know, and I'm not trying to be like close-minded about certain ideas, but I do agree. I mean, in terms of, are you going to contribute to the flavor that's already there, or are you just going to obliterate it completely just to kind of have a like a novelty type flavor experience?
That's fair.
And I'm less mad at, like, if someone were making, like, I don't know, a strawberry gauche, and like they were working hard and it was infusing the beer in some way, and it's like it contributed the flavor of the beer in a nice, fun way. I don't mind there being fruit in a beer, but it's more like peanut butter can't get liquefied. Strawberries can be juiced.
I feel like I have an example of a beer you like that might not fit this rule, though.
What? Which one?
Which is the white chocolate ale. Does that count?
From the brewery, the white chocolate?
No, yeah. So there's a
brewery.
A Sonoran
ale. Sonoran white chocolate brewery ale. Has a white chocolate ale that I love. I'm a big fan of.
And I don't know whether it's white chocolate powder. I don't know how they're making it.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it's fasting. And also, I'm not bothered by flavonoid level the way you drink wine. The same thing happens with beer, where you can like pick up notes of like, oh, note of apricot when there's no apricot in the beer.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I do kind of like Sonoran white chocolate, but for the most part, I don't care.
But for the most part, no, it's okay.
For the most part, I don't want it in there.
All right.
And if that means I can't have the Sonoran white chocolate beer again,
well,
fine.
I brought you a case back from Phoenix. So,
did you?
Okay. No.
Oh.
I responded no to a nice thing I might have done with you with disgust.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
no.
I did get excited, and then you're like, oh, no. Of course I wouldn't do a thing that might be nice to you. So that was hot taste. Hot takes on taste.
All right.
So let's get into Jeremy. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be working here at Eagle Rock Brewery.
So I, just through homebrewing is how I came to be working here, to kind of jump around all the other history.
All right.
Sure.
But yeah, my dad actually taught me how to homebrew when I was like, I think maybe a senior in high school or right around that time.
Oh, wow.
It was a long time ago, so I don't remember exactly. So we homebrewed together for a number of years, and then I went off. Well, we homebrewed together a little bit, and then I went off to college and sort of forgot about, you know, experiencing a different flavor level in beer, and drank a lot of shitty beer. Yeah.
As one does.
As one does in,
that
in
sweet,
college.
Sweet, natty light.
Yeah. But, you know, at the time when we were home brewing, this would have been like 93, 94, there was not a whole lot of inspiration in terms of like, ooh, I want to make a beer like this one. Yeah. It was like, what other things are out there? And where I was growing up in Rochester, New York, there was a store called Beers of the World.
Okay.
And so it was like, you know, you'd get like all these cool imports, and then, you know, they'd have Sam Adams, of course.
Yeah.
Like, and Sierra Nevada Pale, that was about the only kind of U.S. local sports, options. Yeah. And then there was one brew pub in Rochester that would make some nice beers. So, you know, the like after college, then I moved to L.A. to get into the film industry. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about 12 years total. But after moving to LA, about 4 years after my parents moved out to this area, and so I said, "Hey, Dad, do you still have the homebrew stuff? Because it'd be fun to now we can brew in my garage or my kitchen." Yeah. So we got back into it, and at that point it was like 2004, and the available inspiration was so much more, and also the resources for homebrewing were so much more available. Equipment and raw materials. So yeah, we found a homebrew shop in Woodland Hills. We're just like, we're in Mecca. This is amazing. Like everything you could want, plus a whole bunch of beer nerds that could tell you about how to make beer and give you tips. And so it was like, we got bit by the bug and that was it. So then, you know, my wife is like, "You guys are making a mess of the kitchen, you know?" And like, okay, well, we'll go to the garage.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, perfect." So then we're like, cool, we can make bigger batches in the garage. And then she's like, "I can't park my car in the garage anymore. What's..."
Oh, boy.
So then we were kind of half joking about it and then thinking about it a little more seriously and said, "Yeah, we could do this." So 1 year for my birthday, my wife registered the business name and said, "Here you go. You know, stop talking and start doing."
Registered at the time as Eagle Rock Brewery, or right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So
now we're sitting in another garage that your wife can't park her car in.
Pretty much, yes.
So when you were doing two questions, when you're doing this home brewing, are you and your dad and friends drinking all of this, or is it just are you giving it away at the time? Are you selling a dozen here and there?
A little bit of both of that. I mean, so you know, you can't sell homebrew technically. So, we'd always share it with friends and other homebrewers, give it away as like gifts to friends for their wedding or just for, you know, holidays, things like that. And then, as we got deeper and deeper into the homebrew world, you know, we'd go to homebrew fests a couple times a year and be like, okay, everyone would bring like one or two 5 gallon kegs and then be a big fun party and get to taste other people's beers. And then, ooh, I want to try making that one next. So it's a really great community. And one of the inspirations for opening the brewery, as we were getting more inspired by the beers that we were making and getting better at it. One of the inspirations was talking with our homebrewer friends, and they were saying like, there's not any like beer community in LA the way there is in San Diego. You go down to San Diego and you can visit like 10 breweries in a day if you want to, or you can go to San Francisco and same idea. So that was really part of the inspiration for opening Eagle Rock Brewery, is like, hey, let's build this community. Let's build a great beer community.
Yeah.
And that's always really been one of the keystones of what our philosophy and what our business is built on, is that community aspect of beer and how beer can bring people together and, you know, get people excited about things or just make people happy.
Yeah,
that's great. So.
That's, and also I would say now there is a significant beer community in LA. There's a lot.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of options. Mm-hmm. And before I lose this thread, I did have one other question. If you're home brewing with your dad in high school, if you throw a party and if you've made your own beer, do you get in trouble for that? Like, are you allowed to, I mean, you were drinking before the legal drinking age, so I mean, what was the
probably?
Yeah, because I like the idea of like throw a party, but you have to make your own alcohol for it. So it's like you're like that. That's probably fine,
right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. The most of the alcohol laws in the United States, and of course after Prohibition, each state
it's different. Yeah,
it's different. You know, they can regulate their own alcohol. But yeah, most of the laws are horribly outdated.
Yeah.
There's been some of the laws are getting a little more current. But just to give you an example, so like homebrewing federally was legalized in 1978. And then homebrewing was not legalized in all 50 states until 2013, I believe it was. And it was Mississippi and Alabama were the last two states to...
Something about those states make them late to a lot of things.
They're a little bit slow.
Yeah, there's a, just... tiny, it's a little tiny bit behind the times.
Yeah.
That's in...
It's the southern speed of things, you know? I don't know, like...
Yeah, I'm from the south, I get it.
But yeah, like, I mean, that's kind of remarkable to think that it took, you know, 40 years or something, almost 40 years for all of the states to, you know,
I love to
realize that's
the idea of some people like getting pulled over and the cop's like, what are all these empty bottles for, boy? like just a real southern cop.
Right, right.
And they're just like, it's just a nightmare. It's a nightmare of like, I can't believe someone's arresting someone for this.
I mean,
I get it. That makes good football programs, though. Good
sure.
football.
Yeah, very
no
good.
No homebrewing, great football.
It's funny just the way that alcohol laws are. This recently we just had a big change in LA, legal cannabis,
right?
Recreational cannabis.
Yeah.
When we opened up here, it took us 2 years to go through all the regulatory hurdles to actually open our doors. We were renting this building for 2 years and doing some of the construction stuff, but couldn't actually open for about two full years.
Yeah.
And then about a year after we opened, there's like dispensaries opening up all over the place, just like overnight. We're like, whoa, something really like...
There's something, legislatively, they're not prepared for that onslaught. Like, they just it's legal now in California, but they're not prepared for what business license. It's still this gray area of, like, the former medical marijuana places. Like, some of them are in different jurisdictions. Some can be open to the public. Some still require a medical license. Yeah,
I'm assuming it's the tax, like, the hard tax push for it. They're like, just get them open. Just do whatever.
Yeah.
Just get us that money. So. Yeah. Whereas I'm not sure, it doesn't seem like necessarily that the tax bump from like small breweries is the same. So they might have been like, well, we just need to get, we also, it's like addressing like, I think it's just addressing an issue. They're like, we need to make this legal and get tax money on it versus like, I'm sure they're keeping tons of like you said, it's impossible to open up a million other types of businesses.
Yeah. I think too, like with alcohol in general, and the, usually to have some kind of special use like that, usually anything involving alcohol, you have to go through a conditional use permit process. Mm-hmm. And there's, with alcohol, you know, since 1933 Prohibition ended, like there's been that much time for people to think about alcohol and live with alcohol establishments near them and figure out what works and what doesn't and what causes problems. So, you know, there's this multi-page document with questions you have to answer about your operations, and we got protests against our application when we were trying to open.
Yeah,
and one of the reasons it took so long, and in those protests, people literally said, "There's going to be prostitution, bike gangs, public urination." Like,
that is the audience that the we're moral doing decay this podcast of society. For today,
yeah,
right.
That's our crowd. Yeah,
here, give it up for the prostitutes.
Give it up for the public urinators.
A much louder crowd.
Yeah, but you know, nobody was saying anything about the, when these dispensaries were opening up, it was like, oh, there was no regulations written in that were going to determine what their operations could or couldn't be.
And we as a country have been protesting against alcohol pre-prohibition for decades, whereas like marijuana is like a new, we're figuring out how to get mad at that too.
Right.
Yeah, the American dream is someone trying to open up their own medical marijuana or marijuana place, and they get this giant document. Like, that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
And it's like really cool. That would be the right place for it to be.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned inspiration a lot, both in the home brewing with your dad and then now with the brewery itself. Is there certain things that are inspiring you now with any new beers that you're making, or could you, and even with that, like walk us through like what is currently on tap?
Yeah, it's, so, you know, I always get inspired just by flavors. So, or, you know, aromas, just kind of flavor experiences. One of the beers that we've brewed here, was, a Saison made with tamarind.
Ooh.
And, but it was, I was just on the route that I walk my dog every morning, I'd pass by this tree and smell the tamarind and just like, oh, that would, I think that would work in a, in a beer. So, you know, inspiration could kind of strike at any time really. And usually like, you know, it'll be something food or flavor or aroma related. And then, you know, it's just the excitement of trying to figure out how to capture the essence of that experience and put it into, put it into a glass.
Yeah.
You know, beer for me, like beer is all about time and place. And so you could have one beer that might be great in one, at one time in one place. And then, you know, you take that to a different situation. It's like, okay, I'm not really feeling this right now. It's, it's, and I think that, that, aspect really plays a big role in people's flavor experiences, you know, in general, and their memory, flavor memory. So
does that have a lot to do with like these certain beers are available this season versus other seasons?
Yeah. So we, when we opened up, we decided to make, three beers, and it's sort of daunting, you know, you have zero beer to put out there, and, and then suddenly like, you need to present some beers to the public and try to get people excited about those beers.
Yeah.
So we started out with three beers, and in choosing what to make, we thought, well, let's we know we have a long way to go in educating the consumer base, so let's start out with something that's more malt accented, something that's a little more yeast accented, and then something that's a little more hop accented, and then you know you can basically represent three of the four main ingredients in beer, the fourth being water. And then
that's
you know,
what I'm looking for.
Yeah, like
it's a real water heavy beer.
Well, you know, those already existed.
Yeah, those are the those so Natty Lights.
That's what we're going against, kind of.
I knew there was a reason why I liked it.
So starting out with those three, we said we're gonna make these year round. And then about 6 months in, all of our customers started asking us to make an IPA. We did that, and then it was, okay, four year-round beers. But then the market, as the market is like blown up so quickly and so dramatically in LA, and just around the country, everybody's kind of, like everybody's flavor preferences and experiences and what flavors and what beers they're getting excited about, it's a very kind of new world for a lot of us in the beer industry that came up, you know, modeling ourselves after like a Sierra Nevada or like a Anchor Brewing Company or one of these like kind of, you know, we like kind of call them like legacy brands. It's like for us, like that's some of the beers that inspired us originally. And we kind of grew up with those. And now there's so many more, but modeling yourself after one of those breweries that has a flagship beer that they make year round, it's almost it almost is bad for a brand to have a flagship beer these days. And you know, I say that, you know, it's there's definitely some truth to that. It's not 100% true, but so what we did is we started to de-emphasize our year round brands and started putting those resources into making more seasonal beers. And it's easy to get people excited about seasonal stuff because, you know, generally people will want to try something at least once. And that, I think that's kind of the idea with your show too, right? Like, I've tried it. I didn't like it. So
Not a lot of repeat guests on the show.
No.
So, you know, just always doing something new. And the big part of that isn't just kind of having this ADD and never really focusing on the same beer, but the idea is to engage the drinkers, like engage people that are excited about your beer, because people want to be excited about the beers that they're drinking. And so, yeah, have fun, like engage with people and, you know, brew beers that people enjoy drinking as well. And
well, I also think it, and you can speak to this, or you can say my guess is right or wrong, is it seems like it gives you the opportunity to have some real big home runs, and then also maybe some at-bats that don't go great. But that's okay, because people are willing to give you the, like, they know that to get the home run, you also have some ones that are like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. Some people really like it. Not everyone loves it, and that's okay.
Or yeah. your cult faves, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's like, it's like, of course, this is the way I compared it in my mind, is I went, oh, well, Wendy's occasionally has the Monterey Ranch chicken sandwich. But they don't have it all the time.
Right.
And then when they do have it, people lose their fucking, I lose my mind. And I'm like, no, that's great, though.
Yeah, or like McRib, right?
Yeah, or like McRib. Yeah, although, do you base your beers on the price of pork? Because that's what the McRib's based on.
Nope, no. Yeah.
No, good.
Generally not.
Okay, great. That would really upset me.
And just to stay in that seasonal thing, I think there is something to, I've lived in Los Angeles for almost a decade now, there is something about, and you're from Rochester, where there is a significant winter. There's something about being able to crave a season even though it's not happening around you.
Yeah.
So to be able to get that in the flavor profiles that are available in grocery stores and at restaurants just remind you that, like, the world does change around you even though we're in a city that doesn't have seasons.
True, yeah.
I think I know I crave seasonal things when it's still 70 and sunny outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Nutmeg everything starting in really the beginning of October for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Nutmeg everything?
Yeah. But, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I think it's easy as a small business, and especially as a brewery, a small business brewery, to kind of get caught up in this idea of, well, we have to be the certain size, or we have to be like the certain image that we are modeling ourselves after, and, you know, to hold on to that idea for too long can really be a bad thing. You know, if you don't allow yourself the ability or the latitude to evolve in that sense, you know, I think it can be a bad thing. One of the things that's weird and has been hard for me to wrap my head around with this, the beer market, the way it is right now, is that there does seem to be a certain level of this, like, ADD in the beer market. Mm. But kind of in a way, the way I've kind of made sense of it is that because of the rise of social media, like, everybody is sharing, you know, and you can be sharing ideas and pictures with your friends around the world. And now, you know, with canning becoming so popular, people are taking those cans and then shipping them to their friends. So, like, part of the way that the market is now is I think an effect of that. It's people are able to go, hey, check out this super cool beer. You can only get it at the brewery, and they're like, yo, send me some cans, and like, okay, well, you send me some back. And
no, I have a buddy who is a Craigslist beer trader in Chicago. So, like, when we went to Russian River up in NorCal and Santa Rosa, like, he brought as much as he could back because he knew it would be a commodity in the Midwestern. Like, underground beer trading market.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. Awesome. I mean, you know, there's aspects of that are good, and then there's aspects that are bad. I mean, obviously the quality control from the brewery is it's, you know, that's something that all of us should be really concerned about. How is that beer being treated, and if it gets to the Midwest and it's in bad shape because of the traveling and temperature shifts.
Yeah, they're not getting the way it was supposed to be tasting. Yeah.
And then somebody's, you know, giving it a review on Untappd or
a Beer Advocate or whatever,
and then it's like, you know, that's really not representative.
How much tracking does a brewery do of what's happening on Beer Advocate or Untappd?
I mean, it's all about how much bandwidth you have. I look at it from time to time, and I'm just like, fuck, I can't. I really want to go through and weed out these, like, there's some of our beers on there that are just misspelled, so it's like a new entry, and it's like, or I've seen like entries where people are like, oh, this beer's okay, but it was a little flat, and then the serving method says growler, and I'm like, and it was shipped. I'm like, what? Of course it's flat. We print on the growler.
Well, that is the one thing about the beer market for me as someone who wants to eat and drink everything, where it's part of me is like, I've almost given up on beer. I love drinking beer, but part of me has given up on being able to drink everything because it's impossible. I could go to Sunset Beer Company in my neighborhood and then never be able to finish because they're always going to constantly have new stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only drink so much beer. Yeah.
Can you, though?
I can test that. Not. Yeah,
oh, sure. I mean,
put that to the test, man.
I mean, I have to space it out. I can't drink. I used to be able to drink 5-6 of beers
a day in college. I can't, enjoy that many beers.
Yeah.
But I can drink that many.
That's fair, too. And I want to be able to enjoy them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sometimes, you know, I drink wine and or, you know, spirits. I'm just like, I need a beer break.
Yeah. That's, you have to mix it up. You have to mix it up.
Yeah. So beer is great.
That's what we take away.
Beer.
Well, I'm doing a transition. Oh, beer is great.
Is that what this is?
You got to let me finish once.
Did I ruin this transition? Yeah.
Beer is great.
Wait, what are you doing?
But how is natto?
So, yeah, okay. So I've never had natto. You've had it?
I have had it.
Where? Explain this.
So first, I'll just say, like, when you guys asked me about this, invited me to be on your show, I thought, oh, super cool idea. This sounds really fun. And then I thought, oh, this is hard because I am a pretty adventurous eater. Mm. My wife is Taiwanese, and anytime we go to Taiwan to visit her family, it's like favorite game is like feed the white boy all the weird, funky foods. Yep. And I'm like, all right, I'll eat stinky tofu. I'll eat like whatever
right off the deep end. And I was like, it's going to be like chicken hearts. No, stinky tofu. That's a real gross thing. That's a real one.
How do you like it?
Actually, I don't mind it at all. Wow. I think it tastes pretty good. The smell is absolutely funky.
Yeah.
What's that other? It's like not jackfruit, but it's
durian.
Durian. Oh, jeez, Louise, man, that is like stinky. But you know what?
It actually tastes pretty good.
So
it smells nightmarish.
And then I was just thinking, like, crap. Like, I don't know. I can't. I don't think about it every day. Like, man, I really hate this food. So it came to me.
And it took a few emails before we even landed on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have tried natto. We were in Sushi Gan, which is a great sushi restaurant in downtown LA. Mm-hmm. And I love it because it's like mom and pop style. And it's like, you know, it's not fancy frills with gold leaf sprinkles on it and stuff.
Like, it's widely regarded as one of the best sushi restaurants in LA.
Seriously, good stuff, right? Yeah. And so it's like, all right. I always try new stuff there, like sit at the bar and, yep, I'm in your hand, so whatever you think. And so one time we were sitting with some friends that loved natto, and I was like, okay, well, yeah, we'll try it. Why not? And it just tasted like barf. It tasted like somebody barfed on a little piece of rice and wrapped it in some seaweed, and then I was like, all right, yeah, I don't think I can finish this.
And just because we are not expecting our audience to know what natto is necessarily, and we are... to me, it feels like the kind of thing that you would have had to have grown up eating. Stop groaning, Winston.
It sounds so
probably
gross.
I mean,
you saying barf really upset me.
Well, I also need to describe what it looks like.
Yeah, I know. Let's go.
So natto is the process of making it is like you soak soybeans and then you warm ferment them at about 100 to 120 Fahrenheit for about a day. And it's just soybeans and natto spores, which is just a bacteria.
It's like a kind of yeast.
It's the kind of yeast, and you put so little of it in there, and it's enough to, after that time of that warm fermenting, the soybeans take on a mucousy, there's still soybean shape and texture, but surrounding them is this like mucousy,
stringy
thing. They're especially stringy.
Yeah.
And that is what it is, and then it's usually served over rice. It can be dressed up, but it like looks like stringy beans. And not bean strings.
No,
we've discussed bean strings on the podcast before.
Like somebody sneezed.
It's like somebody sneezed a lot, and then you are pulling
a
beans with mucus. Yes.
It's kind of like from what I remember, you know, like a bitterness to it and kind of that kind of bile-y thing.
I'm sorry, this is such a groan heavy episode.
Yeah, Winston.
I'm really not ready for this.
I like a lot of fermented foods. I like some seriously stinky cheeses and stinky tofu. I mean,
your life is making fermented foods.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, one time we made a kettle soured beer here, and we've done a bunch of those, but the first time we ever made one, it turned out fantastic. And we're like, okay, super cool. Like, let's do this again right away. So we brewed it again. And the second batch of it, it smelled like gym socks.
Oh.
And we're like, well, okay. It, like, that might just be a weird, like, fermentation, like, you know, there's a lot of different compounds that get produced during fermentation. Sure. Like, maybe it'll off gas and maybe it'll go away. So we just let it ferment all the way out. And then, nope, sure enough, there's
all gym sock.
Some particular strain of bacteria when it reaches a certain temperature, you know, it produces this funky aroma. It was somewhere between, like, Cheetos and gym socks, or, like, gym socks filled with Cheetos, maybe. A little bit cheesy, a little bit. So that was one of the very few batches we've ever had to dump really, here. We're just like, nah, we're not going to try this.
Yeah, just not even mess with it. So.
Are you okay, Winston?
I think I'm picking up what Winston's putting down. I think he's trying to say he needs like 6 more beers before he can try the knockout.
Yeah, because I certainly won't vomit all of them.
Yeah.
I'll at least have one beer base that stays.
Yeah. So
you've had it before, and you're an adventurous eater.
But this is the one that...
I've only had it once because it was one of the very few things that I'm like, no, that's gross. I don't need to eat that again.
I will say this. I will hold my opinion until the second part of the episode, but the thing that bothered me about it more than anything else is the lingering quality of the flavor in my mouth.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Damn was it. Just like, oh, it didn't go away.
Quality?
Yes.
That's such a nice way to be like, no, my mouth tasted gross for a long time.
Yeah.
That's, I think, you know, mucus has that ability to kind of hold on to.
Sorry.
Yeah, another groan, man.
Wow.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty on board.
You're either on board or you change your opinion about the food to match the guest.
Yeah. But I know I just have strong opinions that are flexible.
Yes.
We could. But, did you guys bring any meatballs? Because we could put that on top of the natto, maybe.
No meatballs. Unless Winston...
Let's not sully this with meatballs. Let's not bring meatballs into this equation.
In a prior
maybe
episode.
Maybe sausage. This is maybe a sausage type of thing.
In a prior episode, I did surprise Winston with candied or like very sweet anchovies. And so I'm waiting for Winston to surprise me. So maybe there are meatballs today. I hope there's meatballs.
I don't have that much initiative. You did bring out it was sweet and Korean sweet anchovies, and it was pretty
weird.
Trivial.
No. I loved them.
It is weird. It is weird.
Yeah,
I thought they were real great. Gross. Yeah, they're sweet and also anchovy.
I liked them. They had little walnuts in them. They were tiny little babies. Okay. They were great. Yeah.
So we're about to eat more than one kind of natto.
Okay.
How are you feeling?
I'm all this talk about it actually made me a little bit nervous right now.
Oh no.
Yes.
Really?
No. I want to raise the stakes. I want this to be the part of the show where the roller coaster's going up.
Well, it is. You don't know how far I hear it's the click, drop. Click, yep. Click, click.
Yeah. Yep. And it's not one of those fast ones right off the bat. It has a slow build.
I didn't eat lunch yet, specifically because I was a little bit worried of the reaction I might have to the natto. So.
Really?
Have you ever had anyone barf on your show?
No.
No.
Okay. No one's told us afterwards.
Okay.
So we're gunning for our first. We're also looking for our first walkout.
Yeah.
So
we're looking for a walkout. We're looking for a sort of Barforama club. Is that
we're not calling it a club.
A club? Yeah. But so we're gonna
take a quick We're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back...
We're going to get baked.
We're going to get baked. Oh, that... Yeah. Get back on that.
I mean, apparently there's 7 dispensaries open around here.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got several varieties of natto. And we're back. So, Winston, if you're ready, I'm going to walk through what we've got, and then we're going to do the first tasting.
Yeah.
So
there's... I want to just be clear.
It smells
there's a funk.
Funky right now.
Yeah. Above the table, that's not great.
So I went to a marketplace down in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles and got us 3 in the frozen food section. They had a whole natto freezer. Mm. So I got 3 varieties with different sauces just as a way of like, maybe the sauce helps. Maybe that gets us to a good spot.
Yeah.
So to walk through what the 3 sauces are, There's one that like has like this sweet sauce. It's called Sobu Toromame, which like also has a spicy mustard with it. Mm-hmm. There is the one that was with Niowanato, which is another sauce.
Okay.
And then we have the one that we're going to try first, which is a Umefumiko Rozu Tare. So tare is soy sauce.
I'm assuming.
Yes, it's seasoned soy sauce because like it's in that tamari category, if I'm not mistaken.
And then we're talking
ume, which is like a fruity thing.
Plum, right? It's kind of a plum. Yeah.
Like umeboshi is that preparation. Yeah. Because the boshi is the preparation. And then I also attempted to make my own natto, bought the natto spores, soaked, and then kept it covered. I used our shared smoker.
Okay,
and I treated it like a dehydrator to make natto. We are going to start with a Japanese grocery store's. We're going to start with a Umefumiko Rozu Tare.
Yeah.
It's going to be me and Jeremy. We're going to take our first bites.
Yep.
We're going to go from there.
Get into it.
Okay, this is it right here?
This is it right here.
Okay.
And we have some rice to help eat it with because that's the traditional. Oh, my
Dude,
God.
This totally looks like a Rice Krispie treat. It's so like. Oh, oh okay, let me get let me get my. By the way, there's a little slime on your.
Mixer fine.
There now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm gonna go for it. Let's see here.
Oh, yeah.
So we have slimed our sound mixer, and in that process, I have an opinion.
Okay.
Theirs is better than mine.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
That is a upsetting statement considering the reaction to theirs.
Yeah. It is truly the.
Eat some rice.
Oh yeah, there's so much, so many strings from this.
Dude.
Yeah. Cool. So you guys tried that one. I don't even need to think about it.
No, you should. Winston, you have to try it.
All right, I'm trying.
You have to try
it. This stupid thing. All right. It looks like.
You know, the best is that we're just really acting this up so that you are
going to
be freaked out. It really tastes delicious.
Oh, it's refried beets. This is just refried beets?
Nope. You're still stringing there.
Yep.
It's fine.
You can't not.
This is our messiest episode so far.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was struggling a little bit with that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's real tough. I also don't hate it.
Oh, my God.
But here's why I'm confused by it. And I think I want to try some of these with like soy sauce on it and a little bit of green onion just to see if that like helps with some of the quality. Not to say that this is bad quality. I'm sure people enjoy eating this. They had a whole freezer of this.
People enjoy eating a lot of gross shit.
Sure.
All right, let's just off the bat.
Fine.
Just because people eat it doesn't mean it's good.
Well, calm down. Here's where I get confused. Take some deep breaths, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get a quick meditation session.
I'm just thinking, how can we move through this as fast as possible?
I'm confused because this is commonly a breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why you'd want this flavor to start your
day. I have
day.
A theory.
Why?
Get the worst thing you'll eat all day right out of the way.
Oh, just like, your day will just pick up from there?
Yeah, let's just, so you woke up, you slept perfectly. Let's put you at rock bottom, and then everything's in a better.
Sure.
Because it's not, flavor-wise, it's fine.
Yeah.
That is maybe the most offensive texture I've ever put in my mouth.
Really?
I was like eating it, and I was like, yeah, it didn't put that much in. Why is everything covered now? And it's a slime.
I'll say this. I saved this at the beginning without revealing my opinion on the natto. It was like I made the natto at home. Mm-hmm. I tried it. I was like, I have to eat this. I'm presenting it to I will call you a food and drink professional. So it's like I have to be willing to eat my own food before presenting it to someone else. And I felt, that's fine. I put a little bit of salt on it. Tasted good. And then what was bothersome was that lingering quality of just like, there's bitterness. It is just true bitter flavor that I can't get rid of.
I don't hate bitterness.
Yeah.
I hate slime.
Sure.
And this thing's slime.
There's the bitterness and the slime is combined with a slight, like a butyric or like a, like a slight barfy, bile-y,
So which one's
slightly
next?
Stomach
let's
get, we're doing more. This will be
hell
good.
Through this as fast as possible.
I'm going to do this. Should we do mine first and maybe do that with some green onion and soy?
Green onions, yes. Right. Fresh green onions.
So, so I'll just sprinkle these green onions on the whole thing.
Sure.
Are you going to eat these later? Do you want me to preserve some of these? I was just going to dress the whole thing.
I will probably.
I might drink
this
that
is gonna
bottle
be,
of soy sauce
I'll
later.
Say this. This is going to be one of my true struggles of, I've made
not
food,
wasting it.
Not wasting it, and then...
I'm putting a lot of green onion on
That's
there.
Fine. It's going home with me, but then, what
I'm
am I going to do
gonna
with
dress it?
It
was,
Okay.
Very basic soy. Is that okay?
That's right. Fine.
So
we're allowed back here after this, I hope.
As long as you don't bring the natto, you're allowed back here.
Well, I actually had an idea. I was like, it dawned on me. So this is a yeast, right?
Yeah.
So you can make...
Do you want to keep our yeast packet?
Yeah, you want to get into it.
Let me see here.
Would you like more slimy beers?
Natto powder.
That's a natto powder.
No, I think I'm good, actually. I think
I'm going to insist you guys take everything with you the second you leave.
And leave quickly.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to take a little bit of this. The upside to yours is it's not as stringy, and now it has green onion in it.
Seriously, the stringiness really does remind me of like... If you think about it, like it's Rice Krispie treats. Like it looks like marshmallow stringy.
Yeah, like a cold, like a Rice Krispie treat that's still stringy when cold,
mm-hmm.
and is made with fermentation.
One scoop is plenty.
And believe me.
So the onions, nice aroma added there.
That soy, Winston. I'm gonna double up on soy.
You're gonna go.
You know what? Oh man. Oh.
Boy.
Texture though, your beans are bigger. Like, the commercial ones look a little more like a lentil.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the ratio of bean starchiness, like, non-funky to, like, it's better funky. With yours. Because there's a little more, like, I don't know, padding, so to speak. Of like it's
still not great.
No, it's still not great.
Still not great.
It's easier for me to handle than the...
Yeah, green onions help.
The slime and, like... surface area factor. I don't know. It's a little bit.
Yeah, these are Midwestern beans. These are Milwaukee. These were processed in Milwaukee.
Okay.
I put a lot of soy sauce on mine.
Yeah, which seems to cut down on the stringiness. Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah, mine were less stringy than the store bought variety.
All right, I'm gonna get into the next one. I'm honestly at this point just like let's. The sooner, the less we talk, the more we can just eat.
Okay, so this is what?
This is with the Niwa natto sauce?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that kind
Neither
of a sauce.
Neither am I.
It has bonito. Great. It has bonito in it.
Oh,
so.
That's... All right. I wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, you don't like bonito?
I don't love the idea of fish flakes and this. Like, that's somehow making it worse for me. Oh, boy. All right. This is... What it is it looks like candied nuts... But it's not, it's definitively not candied nuts. It is 100% something.
It is absolutely not.
Let's do this.
Remember the scene in Alien when the egg opens up? And
yeah, that's the stringiness. These are sweeter than the other store-bought variety. And Winston is shaking his head no.
This is the most slimy.
You okay?
Well,
it's all about the sliminess, and it's just really hard. It's really hard. Oh, boy.
I'm just going to try to keep dressing these.
You're just going to have, like, soy sauce soup with a little bit of this in it. Yeah, that'll be delicious.
Yeah.
Honestly, what I'm most worried about now, because we're almost there. I think I can struggle through the rest.
There's only one more.
But I think the thing I'm worried about is the lingering, like, this lingering flavor.
Here's what I'm worried about. It's like, you open up your... tap room in 2 hours, and I just don't want there to be any remnants of this.
Yeah, someone puts their beer down and lifts it up, and it's like it's just pure strength.
Yeah,
what did they do?
We'll just open a bag of hops over here. And
oh, great.
Air freshener.
Let's do this last one. Within it, we put the spicy mustard.
Yeah.
So maybe some spicy
Excellent.
Mustard
Let's
is hope. The key. Maybe it cuts down on stringiness.
Give me that.
Maybe it.
I'm really
What does it matter?
Really
Winston
kind of
says, what does it
holding,
matter?
Holding back the urge to barf here.
Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't eat lunch.
No, I didn't eat lunch on purpose because if I did...
You'd rather be able to put something on top of this rather than have this sitting on top of, like, I don't know, I'm assuming brewers eat Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. Is that accurate?
Can I ask you this, Winston? Yeah. This versus Bichat, which texturally do you dislike more?
This is way worse.
Really?
This is the worst thing we've ever had on this show. So congratulations.
Well,
you've taken the conceit of our show and pushed it to the limit.
Because previously we had a Armenian dried fruit that had a cotton ball texture.
Cotton ball was at least fathomable. This is bad.
But I feel like, I don't know, I'm trying to imagine you've ate this for... You're a child. You're eating this from like 5 years old through adulthood. So it's something you get raised on. It's probably nutritionally very good for you.
Probably,
just
yeah.
Just beans and yeast.
I mean, I guess. If this was something like I was introduced to as a child, I would probably not be as offended by it. But there's.
I like the mustard one.
I guess.
I like the mustard one.
I don't like that I put what is relatively dry sushi rice into my mouth, and then all of a sudden it's covered in something, and I don't know where that came from, and it's a bummer.
I like the mustard one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Nope. Mm. This is gross. This is a gross thing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Not for me. Never needs to be for me.
That's okay.
I tried it. Did not like it.
That's okay. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Buddy, it's going to be fine.
I'm getting heated. I'm getting upset.
Yeah. Because, we are not Japanese.
Cheers.
Yeah, well,
we made it through.
We did it through.
Yeah, because Japanese people are obligated to eat this. Is that the
experience? Well, it's more like it's not our food. We did our very best to try it in the best way we possibly can. Yeah, we want to honor that, like, people out there probably enjoy this. So,
I'll admit there are foods I eat that I'm sure other people find disgusting.
Sure.
Sure. And I lick plates, and so it's like, I know publicly that's not allowed. But, yeah, this wasn't for us.
Yeah.
And we tried it three different ways in the way it's supposed to be had. Now, I wonder if, like, there are Japanese chefs who would say, you gotta have it linger more, or it's like it's better served warm.
I'm sure there is, like, I bet, like, this cooked down in a sauce. I bet this, like, a little bit of this in a sauce goes a real long way, and it's probably great.
Sure. But I also had the thought, like, this could have been a bean dip. Like, my thought was to westernize this.
Put just a bunch of cheese.
I'm also, like, struggling to talk because, like, I do have some stuff in the back of my throat after this experience.
Because it's alive, like, and wants to kill us.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, welcome to the slime, buddy.
But, yeah, I considered a bean dip because it was a way of, like, oh, that'll get rid of the texture and then it'll just be the funk. And I really sound different right now. It's like, oh, my voice has changed.
Yeah.
Those strings are going across your vocal cords and soon you will be...
But I would say, if you're trying this for the first time, if you are curious about it, because it's also, like, not, I wouldn't call the taste putrid or bad. It's just texturally tough.
I would say of the things that are an issue with this, taste is the lowest.
And it's still like a bitter bean thing.
But that's okay. I eat grape leaves. I'm part Arab. Like, I'm on board for bitter. It is 100% a textural thing for me.
Yeah. But I would say that with that spicy mustard,
But spicy mustard is good. It's what we've proven here. Yeah. Spicy mustard makes bad things slightly better.
Yeah.
Ugh. I wonder if you were to bake this, and like if you, you know.
Like baked beans. Yeah. Brown sugar.
Would that, you know, kind of denature some of those stringy proteins and make them less?
I would imagine warm stringy, I'm at least like more of like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Well, warm stringy, like with like a barfy cheese flavor?
Yeah, that's not great. Oh, boy. I'm happy to never have to think about these again.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Well, we got through it.
Yeah, we got through it, and we have some extra. So if you want to leave a review on the podcast and say, I want one of them nattos, we'll send it to you, and we're not going to refrigerate it, so it'll be bad.
And I mean, and then we'll still get mad if you, like, leave a review on Natto Advocate and say your natto was flat.
Yeah.
Natto Advocate.
NattoAdvocate.jp.
.jp, yeah. you might not return to natto after this is the feeling I have.
I still did not like it. I tried it again, but I still confirmed. I guess.
Had after this you had been like, no, you know, I was wrong the first time, I would have said, there's no helping. You would have got up and walked out and never returned.
So we have to clean our mixer now.
Yeah.
It's all covered in natto string.
We have a lot of apologizing to do to everyone here.
And we might have an update to do because, like, I will struggle because I'm bringing home a decent amount of natto.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
You're going to be so upset to throw it away.
I will be.
Yeah.
And then.
You could probably compost it pretty.
There you go.
Yeah. This is. Well, I can't compost the ones with the green onion now, but the rest. My worms might have a snack. In case anyone ever wondered if I'm the kind of guy who has worms in my backyard, I am.
But not the way you said it sounded like there are worms in the dirt in your backyard. That is not what's happening.
Oh, no.
You have a bin full of worms for composting.
I do.
That you keep as kind of pets.
They're not pets, no.
My buddy.
My man. I need to start gardening within the next 2 months, otherwise they're pets.
Or you have pet worms, yeah.
I need to start gardening. But yeah, we'll figure out. This is Jeremy. Thank you for hosting us. We will clean all of this up.
So thank you guys. Everyone should come out here to the tap room.
Yes, we will not have natto when you come out here. So if you're looking for it, bring it with you. You can bring it in.
I will.
That's what I, you know. Maybe lightening up to it a little bit.
Yeah, you have to bring your own.
I won't be trying it again.
Yeah, it's BYON. But yeah, it is one of my, like, I worked over on, what it was, I worked on Andrita Street.
Oh yeah,
there's a studio on Andrita Street, and this was like a go-to come after work spot.
Well, thank you.
It's a great, like, I would call it an intimate tap room, but it's like, it's not going to get crazy, but it's a good crowd. I like drinking here. Good beer, good spot.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so is there any social media tags or places that we should plug?
Oh, yeah. At Eagle Rock Brew is our Instagram and Twitter handle. So check us out. Follow us. Yeah. Check for updates and new beers. And
sweet.
Yes.
Any exciting summer beers on the way?
Yeah, we're going to be doing for LA Beer Week, which is in mid-June. You can go to, I believe it's labeerweek.org. And there's also the LA Brewers Guild, which organizes that event. And find out information about all the events during LA Beer Week. But we're going to be doing several different collaboration beers to be released during LA Beer Week. So we're going to be collaborating with Drake's Brewing Company out of San Leandro. We're going to be doing a collaboration with Admiral Maltings, 100% California grown and malted barley.
Oh, wow.
And they're off of Alameda Island, Admiral Maltings. And then going to be doing a beer collaboration with Social Kitchen, which is a great little brew pub. Just kind of near Golden Gate Park. They call it Inner Sunset, that neighborhood.
So it's a lot of like NorCal and SoCal collabs. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Have a good one. As always, you can find us at Try It Like It Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
And tryitlikeitpod@gmail.com or tryityoulikeit on Facebook.
We're a Campfire Media podcast, and have a good one.
Campfire.
Well, hello there, fans of Try It, You'll Like It.
Are you ready for a promo?
Let's do yoga. Let's get fit.
Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Muriel.
And we're the hosts of Hella in Your 30s.
A podcast about a cool couple trying to do adult stuff.
So each week we invite you to join us as we try to learn things we should probably already know, like how does a stock market work? Can we install that bidet? Why are all of our houseplants dying?
This is a podcast for people of all ages because remember,
age ain't nothing but a number.
But being Hella in Your 30s is a state of mind.
So tomorrow's a new day. Let's order pizza.
Campfire.